Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, 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 hello. Another game of Where in the World is Isabel Truman has begun. Is afoot and me.
And you. I didn't even know you'd gone to Stockholm, Sweden. I was like, bumped into Zach on the weekend and was like, where's Grace? And he was like, she's in Sweden. I was like, oh my God.
Stockholm syndrome.
But now I'm in New York and God, I love it here. Honestly, New York just has that crazy energy.
It's the best fucking city. It's the best. I know whenever you go it's a thing that whenever you go anywhere in the world, you're like, I'm meant to live here. I want to live here because you just see it for 2 days and only the good sides. Like I came back yesterday and was like, I want to live in Stockholm. But New York, especially every time I'm in New York, I'm like, I'm just supposed to live here. There's a different version of Grace O'Neill that could have come alive in these streets.
I think New York is like the top of the ladder for that though, because it's I've never felt like that. I never feel like this in any other city in the way that I do in New York. And that, I think that's why New Yorkers are such, they're in such a cult about it, which I actually hate. Like I hate how New Yorkers are just like, it's the best city in the world, but it just is. I went outside and got an iced coffee and walked down the street and I was so jolly. And some man walked in front of me and he was like, sorry, miss. And I was like, no worries, honestly, no worries. Have a great day, sir. And if someone did that to me anywhere else, I would shoot them death stares. I'm such an evil, horrible bitch with humans that I don't know in those situations.
I feel like the older I get, my appetite for... This is an interesting question because I was thinking about this yesterday. When I was young, I was so nice, like to people. So my example is a woman, a kind of frazzled older woman, was getting the train from Heathrow yesterday. And she said, does this train go to Paddington? And I said, yes. And then when she got on the train, she kept kind of looking at me and I smiled at her and she goes, oh, big smiley face. I'll sit down next to you. And I was like, you're fucking using my smile against me. And she just sat down next to me and talked to me like the whole 40 minute train ride and then kept being like, are you sure
big
it goes
smiley
here?
Face.
Yeah. But then she started asking me questions and I talked to her a little bit and I was polite, but then I was like, I don't want to talk to this woman for 45 minutes. I just don't. And I'm not rude for not continuing the conversation and constantly asking questions. So I kind of chatted to her a little bit and then I just like got on my phone and was looking. And in the past, I would have felt so guilty and so mean about that. But I feel like I'm at an age now where I recognize that more as people pleasing than me being nice. Like I don't think I was doing that from a necessary nice place.
For sure. And there are times when you feel like doing that and times when you don't. And that's also completely fine as long as you're not being rude. It's like an Ubers. Mm-hmm. I always feel really guilty when I get in a really chatty Uber and am not engaging with them. But it's like sometimes you get in an Uber and you're fucking rushing to a work meeting. You're really busy. You've got shit you need to do. You're in the back of a car trying to like organize stuff, and then you have someone just being like chat.
Mm-hmm. They're not just correct because they want to chat, like they're not in the right.
Yeah. Yes. But it's quite funny because we were just off mic, and then I was like, we should bring this on here, discussing our recent plane passenger situation. So yours is far more extreme than mine.
Mm.
But I want to actually take it back and start with when I went to London, last week. And I was at Heathrow, and there's this group of men, a gaggle of men. And I was like, they are a famous band. No ifs or buts about it. They were just trendy. They were hot in like a fuckboyish way. And they were very confident. I was like, they're not some up and comers.
Mm-hmm.
And then because as a little treat to myself, I think when I booked my flights to move to LA, the return flight was like $200 more to buy premium.
Gorgeous.
So as a little treat for my future self, which I was like, I never do that. And I love myself so much for doing that. I was in premium and I was surprised and had forgotten that happened. And then they all got on and they were in premium as well. And I was looking at them being like, how can I figure out who you guys are? And there were other girls in the airport taking photos of them and stuff. Anyway, get on the plane and I'm seated next to one of them. And I was like, oh, great. I was the chatty woman on the train. And I was like trying to kind of speak to him. And he literally, Grace, looked me up and down. I did look crazy, to be fair. And put his hoodie up and turned away from me.
It's like the closest you can get on a plane to walking away and sitting on another seat.
Mm-hmm.
I feel in two minds about that because that is rude, but
fair enough.
On a plane, it's so hard because you set the precedent early, and it's a long fucking mm-hmm. haul. So if you're a bit too chatty, you're taking a risk because a person might want to just keep talking to you through the flight, and there's nowhere you can go. You can't make an excuse. But he still sounds like a dick.
And then I found out after that it was The Void, and it's Julian Casablanca, who's the lead singer of The Strokes' new band, and they were going to Primavera to play.
God, he's hot.
Well, then I saw my friend put up a close friend's story and said she got rizzed by Julian Casablancas, and that, in Gen Z TikTok terms, is hit on. Means hit on.
How old is he now? He's got to be past the Gen Z hitting on years.
Surely not. He's a rock star.
An investigation into Julian.
I reckon, what would he be, like 40 something? Remember, and last Primavera, he was with Devin, wasn't he with Devin Lee Carlson?
Yeah.
It was like a big investigation that we had into that.
We did.
The girl with the red realization par dress.
He's 44. I guess that's fine.
Yeah, and she'd be like 24, which is...
It's borderline.
Kind of normal in those...
Yeah, there was a TikTok that was like, circles. It's so troubling that Chris Evans... I know it's stupid to talk about these things because they are just made by dumb teenagers for dumb teenagers, but it was like so concerned that Chris Evans, brackets 41, has a 25-year-old fiance, and everyone was like, that's completely normal.
Yes. Brackets?
Two adults. Two consensual adults.
Tell us about your plane situation.
Oh, yeah. So we were delayed a couple of times, and this guy was behind me, and he was just annoying, like loud, obnoxious, bragging, saying that he'd been flown out to Stockholm.
You were like, me too, bitch.
Yes, me too, bitch. And also, this is like so obnoxious, but my ticket was business class because it was a work trip, and I was so excited. And then I got on the plane, and because it's like a tiny little inter-Europe flight, I don't even know what is the calling card for business class, because you're on the same seats.
It's the same thing. It's just like at the front of the plane, right?
Yes, no gap. On the BA one, you get a space at least. No gap. And I was like the furthest row back. I was like row 7. So I just thought, if I'd paid for this myself, all I got was a salmon salad for my trouble. And the guy was behind, and he was just talking about how he'd been flown out, and he was like this big wig and blah, blah, blah. And he was just so annoying. And he kept kicking, he was stretching his legs out under the seat, and they kept kicking the back of mine. Just
so annoying.
Terrible, terrible man. And then the flight had been delayed, so everyone was kind of just a bit over it because they kept delaying and stopping and stopping and starting. And then we got onto the tarmac and they said, okay, we've just got to sit on the tarmac for a while. And then he just starts yelling and being like, for fuck's sake, this is so fucking annoying, blah, blah, blah.
Is he British?
Yeah, I could only hear him, but yeah, he was British. And he was basically like just complaining and getting on the phone and calling people on the phone and just being so annoying, loud. And he said, I'm just going to get out my vape and start vaping on this plane so they kick me off and I'll walk from the tarmac. I don't even care. And I was like, the fact that you think that that is a cool and interesting thing to loudly say is crazy. And then they said, we're going to be stuck on the tarmac. But he didn't seem like a psycho. He just seemed annoying. And then we were stuck on the tarmac and they said it's going to be another 5 minutes or something. And then he fully punches the seat in front of him, which is my seat.
Which is Grace O'Neill.
And I kind of like it didn't hurt or anything, but I kind of lurched forward in my seat and I just go, Jesus Christ. I just like yelled it out because I was so shocked. And there was this cute like dad next to me and he obviously knew it was fucked and wanted to intervene, but also knew he was smaller than this man.
Scared.
Because in that moment, you don't know if they're fully psycho or just a bit psycho. And I almost felt like this guy just did it knee-jerk, like a fucking man baby, and then realized what he did immediately. I could feel the energy of him being like, what the fuck? But he didn't say sorry or anything. He just kind of sat there. And the man next to me was like, are you okay? And he was like, don't do that. He kind of like turned around and told the guy off.
So sweet.
And then just the vibe on the plane was so just awkward and tense, and I was like hunched forward in case he punched again.
In case he assaulted you again.
In case he assaulted me.
Did the air hostesses not see?
They didn't see because everyone was seated because it was like seatbelt. Everyone, the seatbelt sign was still on.
Seatbelt time.
I definitely wasn't hurt or scared or anything, but then I was just angry, and then I was thinking about what to do with that anger because I wanted to have a confrontation with him, but I was thinking in my head what is the right thing to do in that situation? I want to become a more assertive person that's not afraid of like conflict with people in public or whatever, just in interpersonal relationships. Like I think conflict can be very healthy, but I just thought, what is the right thing to do in that situation? Because you don't want to inflame it. It's embarrassing to turn around and tell him off, but then he kind of just got away with it because everyone's too embarrassed.
Yeah, and then afterwards you feel shame at yourself.
Yes, I was victim blaming myself.
Yeah, I don't know what is the right thing to do. I feel like turning around and just being like, dude, what the fuck? Like, what is your problem? We're all stuck on this plane. Like, don't punch my fucking seat. It would be a fine response.
Agreed.
And you'd probably feel good if you did that, but then who knows what he'd do next. I feel like he wouldn't. I don't know. I was watching, actually, to segue into a rec. I was watching She Said on the plane finally. And part of me was just like, why have neither of us, I'm assuming you haven't, or any of the girlies, watched this film and talked about this film? And I think it's because we got so over, I feel like we know everything about that story already. And we love it, obviously. It's Megan Cantor and Jodie and Meg from the New York Times, who released the Me Too story about Harvey Weinstein and kicked off the Me Too movement. And it's showing them doing that. And I don't know, I was like, why have I not seen this film? It's fucking great. I was teary at parts. Ashley Judd plays herself in it, the fucking queen.
I fucking love Ashley Judd.
I fucking love her. I was halfway through and then I was like, oh my God, it's Ashley Judd playing Ashley Judd. I just didn't even like click. But in it, she said she's one of the women they were talking to. She was one of Weinstein's assistants, and he was like trying on with her. And she said that she would often she'd either go for humor or anger. And either of them, she'd pick between them depending on his mood, they would work. And then she said, which is like so fucking dark and such a depraved like segue, but she said that when he basically assaulted her colleague, she walked up to him in front of Steven Spielberg and was like, you need to come with me right now, like really fucking angry. And he just followed her like a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like men like that, those aggressive men like that just need to be fucking put in the naughty corner and like screamed at.
Yes, they're big babies. That's what this guy was like. He got up and he was this kind of big guy and he just looked like a baby and he was carrying himself like an embarrassed little boy. And he, I looked at him, I stared at him like a few times because we were in like the immigration line together and I saw him looking at me and I looked him straight in the eye and he would look away because you're obviously embarrassed. And it's kind of like that Harvey Weinstein thing. I saw a TikTok with Gabor Mate, this is like my whole TikTok feed, but about how tantrums, it's like you're unhealed in a child. It's a child who hasn't been taught how to deal with a situation behaving exactly, like knee-jerk behaving exactly how they used to behave. And it's
no, for sure. I was going to be like, it sounds like if you yelled at him, he'd be like,
sorry.
Take him back. yeah, sorry. Take him back to like, don't know, he's got probably mummy issues.
Yeah.
But yeah, she said to, oh wait, actually I want to briefly tell you, I also got on the plane and I was in the aisle seat and there were two women in the other seats beside me, which is always positive, especially when they're kind of younger. So one was maybe like mid-20s, she was in the window and there was no one in the middle and I was like, amazing. And then this Italian woman came and got in the middle and she was being so annoying. I was like, if you're in the middle seat, don't stick both your elbows across both of the fucking things.
Yes.
Like, and then so I'm hunched up like this because it was hot as well, so I didn't have a layer on. So it was my bare arm that kept getting whacked by her bare arm. And I was like, I hate this. It's making me feel really uncomfortable. Stop touching me with your skin. And I was also really, really, really tired because I had like the worst sleep of my fucking life last night. It is sunny, bright and fucking sunny at 4 a.m. in London at the moment.
Yeah, like, wild.
I know it because I was wide awake at 4 a.m. because the sun was beaming down on the house. And anyway, I had the worst sleep. So I was like, I'm really, really, really tired. I really need to go to sleep. Like, I'm in New York for work. And you know, when you're that tired and you're being a baby, like you're like, I'm going to cry. That's how tired I am.
You're like, so I punched the seat in front of me. And then she kept whacking
me. Yes. I feel for the man. And then I punched the woman. And then she's whacking me with her elbow. Ugh. And I'm fully like this, trying to sleep. I have my neck pillow on, my head thingy on. Took a melatonin as well, even though it was like midday. My boyfriend was like, don't. And then she whacks her hair around and whacks me in the face. And I literally took my headphones out and I was like, excuse me. Like,
I'm
trying to sleep and you keep whacking me. And she was like, oh, sorry, sorry, sorry. And then just continued to do it the rest of the flight.
Oh my God.
But she thought I was crazy. She kept looking at me like I was a bomb that was about to go off. And I was like, yes, bitch.
Oh my God. Why do so many people not know how to fucking behave in public? Wait, we haven't talked about this. This was the best Today in Focus I listened to in so long. It was like months ago. I don't know why I didn't bring it up at the time, but it was basically about how people who work in theatres, specifically in London, the ushers are all traumatized, and comedy clubs, basically just spaces in public where the general public is together, are all traumatized since the pandemic because everyone is behaving like literal zoo animals and has no idea how to have any basic like human decency in public. And I feel like that's true now.
Yeah.
There's everyone's post-pandemic is acting like the world is their own little playground and have just forgotten how to be normal.
Yeah. It's like the patience for situations has really evaporated. Like that guy was obviously so impatient to be stuck on the plane for 15 minutes that he did that. Even me just being so tired, I just want to sleep. And I have this woman whacking me, where if I wasn't that tired and if I had like a jumper on so her skin wasn't touching me, I probably wouldn't have even cared or noticed. But then she was kind of annoying. Like the girl in the fucking aisle tried to get up.
I think you're in the right.
She tried to get up and go to the bathroom and the woman wouldn't get up. So the girl had to like scoot across her.
Oh,
like, it was, and then we looked at each other and just like started laughing because I was like, what is wrong with you? Get out of your fucking seat so she can get past.
You need to have, like, you know how you have to do license retraining?
Yes.
Every thing years. Humans need to, there needs to be some sort of basic etiquette training that people have to go through, because I don't understand how people like that go through life. I also think on this theory about people, I don't think you were in the wrong at all there, and I don't think it was about you being patient. I think you were very good to stand up for yourself. But my theory is that because in the pandemic, everyone had to make personal sacrifices for the greater good, now no one has an appetite for being nice to each other. Everyone just wants to like, I did that for 3 years. Now I'm just suiting my own interests 24/7 all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. It's hard, isn't it? But I do notice myself having way less pay. Like, I will notice, I think I said this on the podcast already, is I'll notice I'll be in such a grumpy mood that then I'll catch someone like smiling at me, a big friendly smile.
A big friendly, well, don't do one of those.
And it shocks me out of, I'm like, whoa, I just realized I was like frowning and huffing and puffing at everyone around me. I hate big cities as well. Yesterday I went for a walk in London and it was just like trying to go for a nice little walk in the morning to get some steps in. And there was fucking like roadworks everywhere. It was loud. People are walking in your way. I was just like, I hate this. I feel really like claustrophobic and can't stop thinking about Hawke's Bay. Take me back. I kept going, take me back to Hastings.
Take me back to Hastings. I'll take the fucking mongrel mob over this crowd any day.
Yes, I actually, maybe that's what it is. I keep thinking I'm getting older, and because I'm getting older, I'm dropping my feminine coded people pleasing tendencies, and I think that's part of it. But I think the rest of it is just living in a big city, and you just get fed up with people because your exposure to humanity is so much higher. And I think it's because people think they probably will never run into you again. They're just dicks.
Yeah,
like similar in New York. I don't know if LA is the same. LA people seem a bit nicer, but they're probably worried everyone's like the casting agent that will give them their big break.
No, for sure. It also feels really sad when you realize that because you're surrounded, as you say, by all these people all the time, and things that you would be shocked by or kind of feel more human about, you start to like get
disassociated.
Yeah, or you start to just not think it. So basically in LA, when you first get there, you're just like, wow, there are so many people who are unhoused, like living on the streets. It's so terrible, and you feel really upset when you see it. Same in London, when you're on the tube and people walk down and they try and talk to you, and then suddenly you kind of have to, as a means to survive, because it's like, if you think about every single person like that, you just start to feel so depressed. But then it's also so weird to start to kind of switch off when you see that happening. It's
totally. I always think about this Louis C.K. bit where it's like so funny. Or it's probably a made up story, but he said his like niece from the Midwest or something came to New York, and he went and picked her up, and she got into the city, and she got off a plane, and she was like 18 and wide eyed. And she saw a homeless man and she went, oh my God, and ran over to him and got on the ground. And he kind of went over and was like, get up, no. And she's like, wait, why?
Yeah.
And he's like, stop doing that. And she's like, why? Does that man not actually need help? And he's like, no, he doesn't need help. He's like completely fucking useless and your response is normal, but just don't do that.
Yeah, it's crazy. Or even I was reading New York Magazine the other week, and they did two big features on the death of Jordan Neely, who, if you guys haven't heard of it, it's the man who was choked, like put in a chokehold by another passenger on the train and choked to death in New York recently. And he was like known about town as he was definitely mentally unwell. And there have been instances where he's been kind of like aggressive to people, and he was unhoused, and he would often be on the train and he was like a Michael Jackson impersonator, but he was really known in New York. And then a man, I think he was like a former veteran or some shit, when Jordan Neely was on the train with him, literally put him in a chokehold on the ground and choked him to death. And all of these other passengers sat around, either ignoring that it was happening, and some helped the guy hold him down. And I was like, what is, where the fuck are we as a society that that happens and people think it's normal? And people were like, I don't know. I was like, you literally just watched someone get murdered in front of you and you guys are too thing, that thing of like socially not wanting to make a scene, as we were just talking about when a man like punches the back of your seat and you don't want to make a scene or you don't know what to do, that people just watch that happen and sit around. It's so nuts.
Yeah. It is terrifying, isn't it? I mean, I think about if I was in that situation and I like to think that I would be brave and say something, but I literally don't know if I would.
Yeah. I feel like I would, but I feel like it would be really half-hearted. Like it wouldn't be enough, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, if someone's choking someone out, but if he'd been like arcing up and scaring people on the train and someone got up and intervened and they had them in it, you know what I mean? I would feel so confused and overwhelmed by the situation. And that in itself is terrifying because it's just like a pretty fucking black and white thing. Yeah. It's interesting, actually. I read an interview with someone, I can't remember who, French, who was talking about why Parisians are so, come across as so obnoxious. And they were saying that there's like a bit of a philosophical thing in Paris where you only have a certain amount of energy and all the energy you waste on strangers you interact with, you're taking away from your people, like your family, your friends, your people at home. So they don't expel, they view being super friendly or nice to people or like nice in public as wasting energy that they could be spending on their friends and family, which I think is interesting. I don't know if that's actually true, but it feels
great. Yeah, I was saying I feel like it feels true because it's like when you, it's that kind of just even extrovert thing or like introvert extrovert thing. It's like you waste, you have a limited amount of like social thing. Like I went to a big dinner on Friday night of like 40 people for a birthday and then was having so much fun, and then the next day they're triplets, so it was like a big weekend full of birthdays. The next day it was a big lunch with the same amount of people, and I was like, I'm so tired, like I have no good chat, I'm just not being funny, like it's all gone from last night.
Yeah. And then we've probably both done this before where you expend all that energy on being like the jester at the party, then you come home and you're like irritable with your partner, and you're like, that's the court jester doing a little song and dance, and then you come home and you're exhausted for days.
Just on She Said Again, very briefly, Frank from Succession makes a cameo. Carey Mulligan is fucking incredible. Zoe Kazan is also amazing, but Carey Mulligan is just like the fucking best. Some guy tries to hit her on her in a bar and she just goes nuts at him. I was like, yes. He came over and came over again. She was like, just fuck off. And he was like, okay, man. And then she was like, just fuck off. And I was like, yes. I forgot what a legend Gwyneth was, even though I know she's obviously famous and rich and protected compared to the other women who had signed all these NDAs and were like scared for their lives and finances. But her speaking to them and just putting her name out is iconic. Same with Ashley Judd, obviously, and Rose McGowan, but very good flick.
Yeah, I have to watch it. I think when it came out, it almost suffered from, like you said, us just feeling so like morally exhausted by that story that it was almost just seemed like an unpleasant way to spend 2 hours. But it's obviously like so important.
Yeah, it was interesting because it just followed the way they did it. And they're just really good actors. But I agree. I feel like everyone was just like, we know so much about this. So.
Legends. Two legends. Many legends. But Jordy and Meg.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Faves. Okay, dupes, baby. Been reading about this all day, immersed in dupes. Very interested by this topic.
Yes, so the cut's got a whole series on dupes at the moment, which is kind of interesting because it's comes after we've been talking about the same thing, where I said at Fashion Week how I was noticing the girlies wearing pieces from Zara, which was surprising me because they were all like fashion editors and stuff, and I was like, oh, I didn't know we shopped high street girls. And then and then also, yeah, what I said to you about how a friend of mine who's similar, like in the fashion scene, wears lots of designer stuff, and then was wearing a dupe AliExpress version of a little like Loewe logoed vest. And I was like, oh wow. And then the question came up of dupes as a whole. Why? I don't know why I feel. I was just like, why do I feel too scared to wear dupes? And I was like, it's not even because I feel like designers shouldn't be ripped. Obviously, independent young designers, like, of course. But it's not even that I'm like, oh, a pair of whatever the row really expensive ballet flats, Zara doing a version for cheaper. It's not even like I feel above that morally. It's just that I feel like I'm too jaded to pull it off. I would feel embarrassed by it, for me.
This is like, yeah, the biggest takeaway from reading about this is that the dupe thing showcases a very high level of like confidence in yourself and your style. And it made me think a lot about how we use clothes and like labels in particular as a defense mechanism and as a barrier and as a way to feel more confident and assertive walking through the world, because we feel like we feel like wearing certain things confers some like legitimacy on us as people, which is quite fucked up when you think about it. I didn't realize how much I had internalized that message that fashion sends. And for example, a girl in what I think was quite a random article with a very good concept at its core, where she wore dupes, all dupes, to that party. Basically talked about how she wore dupes first to a workout class. And she said, I'm worrying that someone will come in wearing the exact same aloe top as me, and the telltale signs that I'm wearing a cheap imitation will only become all the more apparent. It's not until this moment that I realize how much my desire to shop big brands also seems to be about not wanting to be viewed as a fraud. I can suddenly see how my quest for personal authenticity has become tied up in some sort of perverse moralizing around my shopping ethic, as though wearing a logo somehow makes me more worthy of my workout peers' respect or praise. And I was like, damn.
Yeah. Yeah, damn. I know, I've got those leggings, the Lululemon Amazon ones.
They're dupes of Lululemon? Yeah. Or they're just...
No, they're dupes of Lululemon.
Nice. I feel like you got to be pretty eagle-eyed to spot a workout dupe, or is that a bit of a fitness girly thing?
No, it was literally like when I fell and scraped my knee and ruined my expensive leggings, my friend was just like, oh, just buy these off Amazon, they're the same. But it's funny because I don't the thing about it was I just wanted some new good leggings, but because they're Lululemon dupes, they have like a fake Lululemon symbol on the back, which I hate because I'm just like, get that off. It doesn't need to be, we don't need to be pretending to be Lululemon here.
Yes. Yes. I think that's the core problem, is when you feel like it's, when you feel like you're trying to trick people into thinking it's something else. I think that's when the moral, like that's when the mental thing kicks in.
These, the Row dupes look very good. I wish they had them in white.
Very good.
I want to buy some.
Very good. Yeah, I was thinking that too. A backup pair.
Yeah, it's like, it's not even, I feel like when someone shows you a good dupe, I don't feel above it when it's something like this, because it's just like another brand who's done similar. Sometimes you buy that shit without even knowing. Like those shoes, basically I got to my boyfriend's house in London and realized they did have some, in positive news, some clothes at his house that I thought were all gone in the suitcase, because I'd asked him like 700 times if there were any clothes at his house and he just kept saying no because he couldn't be bothered looking. Then I found like a whole pile of shit, including like my trench coat that I thought was gone, some boots, some shoes.
Nice.
And but I found one shoe of this brand, this New York brand called Grey Matters, that I bought in like 2016, and they're really cute and they're kind of like heeled ballet flats, which is what I'm after at the moment. And then I realized, like, very shortly after, that they're dupes or ripoffs of old Celine, of, like, the exact same old Celine shoes, even with down to the color of the heel. But when I bought them, I didn't know. And I was like, that's so funny.
Mm.
And they were, like, $400 at the time.
This is the thing. The designer stuff, we're too far in the weeds with shit. And this is our problem with it, is we... pretty much anything you go into Zara or H&M and see, we like could give or take trace it to what it's referencing. Not every single time, but like as a vague trend thing. You know what I mean? And I think obviously all other brands are looking to these big luxury brands for inspiration. And these big luxury brands cost a completely insanely prohibitive amount of money, like thousands and thousands of dollars. So there just has to be, by the rule of economics, like variations of that created at different price points.
Yeah.
So there's like no, like the dupe, calling it dupe is interesting because it's almost like this way that people are reclaiming that and making it cool instead of just making it a thing that's always existed.
Yeah, because dupes, wait, what is the word that we used to say?
Like knockoffs?
Yeah, knockoffs. And yeah. Dupes makes it sounds like you're savvy because you've gone and found a really good deal for something.
Yes.
Somewhere. And you're, and actually, in actual fact, that's when you're not, again, ripping off an independent designer, that's actually so much cooler to see someone wearing a really cool pair of Mary Janes and for you to be like, where are they from? And for them to just be like, this random shop online. Like I would go and buy that happily. I think it's because I'm not deep enough to do like the searching.
This is why we need to bring back, I was thinking this a lot because when I was in Stockholm I did a bit of in-person shopping, and I was just thinking about how I think a lot of this stuff would be solved by in-person shopping, because if you're in person you could go in, see a pair of shoes that look like a pair of shoes you like, look at them, feel them, see that like the quality is amazing and they look incredible, and then see the price and say, oh my God, amazing. This is so perfect. Whereas with online, there is so much smoke and mirrors, and so much stuff you buy online is horrific when you buy it when you get it in person, that I always just feel like it's not even worth the trouble. I just assume that anything that is cheaper than the original thing will be so much lower quality. But I know that that's not true. But it's just so much harder to discern if you're not seeing it in person, or if you haven't been recommended it by someone who you trust saying, no, this is really good.
Yeah, exactly.
Trust me.
I think that's why it's taking off so hard online, because everyone's just taking the wrecks. Like I'm clicking on this cut piece and then clicking through to the links and being like, maybe I'll buy this.
It does promote such a... like this, I actually just wrote a piece about this, like this culture of everyone having the same taste. everyone kind of looking the same, and everyone, I've been thinking about it in the context of houses, like interior design, just feels like we're all just morphing into some version of the same person because of the internet.
Yeah, I know.
Do you think that's true, or do you think that's not actually true?
I think sometimes it's very easy to think that what's in your orbit is what's happening everywhere, which I think is nice to remind ourselves that it's kind of more just our references. And yes, there's a whole section of like women like us who are buying the same stuff and like the same art and are seeing the same whatever vases and sofas. But at the same time, there's like such a huge group of women who are just in a completely different, I don't know. It helps me to feel better when I'm feeling depressed about like the state of the world, to realize that it's just one. I think we're in such a specific group, especially with working in this industry, that, yeah, you like, it's so stupid, because I was saying to my boyfriend the other day, I was looking for a wedding guest dress. And I was looking online, and I was just like, I hate everything, la, la, la. And then basically was then looking at vintage dresses, like John Galliano Dior, like old 1996 Dolce & Gabbana, spring, summer, such an insane collection, love. Was looking at them and being like Googling it, and the dresses were coming up on First Dibs for £6,000. And then I was getting depressed, because I was like, I literally go, oh my God, I'm so depressed. I wish I could just afford this. And I was like, it makes me depressed that people can just afford this. And my boyfriend was like, who can just afford that? And I was like, Bella Hadid. And he was like, Bella Hadid is not, she's not a person. Like, stop thinking about those people that you follow on Instagram and all those accounts who have like all this expensive shit and celebrities as being like your peers. So you feel gypped that you can't afford a dress that they, like Kendall Jenner wearing that cute little Dolce & Gabbana two-piece floral, like tan floral set to Kourtney Kardashian when she was like in Italy for Kourtney Kardashian's wedding. I was like, I want to wear that. And then I was just like, it's so weird how the internet makes you feel as though, like, it's so parasocial in a really kind of gross lifestyle creep way that it's nice to remember that. Just take me back to Hastings yet again. Take me back to Hastings, off the internet. I just want to hang out on the farm and forget about any of this shit.
Yeah. Forget about any of this shit, or like, totally, everything you just said. I think about that in terms of my apartment so much, because I moved house, I had no furniture, and I was like, what does an apartment look like? And every single thing that I bought for my apartment is a fucking Instagram thing. And I hate it. And I look at it and it feels so detached from like who I am and what my taste is. It's like beige, brown. I can like name the fucking accounts that I've saved to get shit off. And it feels so personalityless. And I was just thinking that what we have done as humans, obviously, there's always been trends, there's always been whatever, but what we've done as humans at every other point up until the last 10 years is, I need furniture for my house. I'm going to go to 3 or 4 furniture stores that are near my house and walk around with my partner and look at the couches that happen to be in this store and pick one that I like that fits and blah, blah, blah. And then build around that. And it's what catches your eye in the store and what you think is kind of fun and cool. And like, it's being in touch with your instincts and your taste as an individual in this really nice, just more personalized way. And I think now I come to so many things from a place of fear of getting it wrong, like this idea that there's a right way to do things, like in many different realms, but say aesthetic things, because social media is so aesthetic, feeling like I just need to figure out the right things to get as dictated by online. And then I'm just like, it's miserable.
Yeah. And that's the exact same with like the dupes thing. It's like everyone's just looking to everyone else, But I guess we always have. We've always looked at these people, these specific people that have taste and wanted to emulate that all the way back. But yeah, I think it's just now, because it's so shoved in our faces all the time, it's hard to get any time away from that. It's hard to, yeah, it's hard to like actually figure out what mm-hmm. it is that you want outside of it. Because I'm similar. Like when I moved to LA, I was just like, I basically moved to LA and I was like, I want a really, really, really comfy couch that I'm just going to lie in and watch movies on all mm-hmm. the time. And I want it to be plush and comfy, but ended up getting like the comfy couch, like the comfy couch that everyone mm-hmm. has. And I don't regret the couch yet. But again, it's like white and kind of, I don't know. And then I had like already got a white rug because I thought I was going to get a colored sofa. And now my house is very white, which I'm like, doesn't really feel like me. But then what does? I think also when you're not super clued up on shit like that and it's just kind of, I don't know, it's really easy to just lean on what someone else is saying because you're like, well, I am not an expert in that area. But it's also, you don't need to be an expert in that area. You just need to pick shit you actually like. It's like with art. I feel like I know nothing about it at all.
Yeah.
So I don't even want to buy some art because then you will feel like you're an idiot if you buy art that's not nice, not good. But then it's just like, that's determined by whether you like it or not, really. Like, obviously there are some, you can study it and there are some ways to tell whether fine art is like technically good or not, but it's just like the fucking whole point of it is whether you like it or not.
100%. It's in that the Rick Rubin, one of the interviews I listened to with him, and he was just, someone was asking him about taste. I think I've already said this before, but he was just like, taste is just you go into an art gallery and which painting do you like more? That's just it. Like, just take that approach and apply it to your life. Just don't overthink it. Go into a shop and be like, do you like that couch or that couch more? That couch, you like that one or that, you know, and just follow that instead of that. I feel like so many decisions, at least I make in regards to this shit, is this coming from this place of like fear of getting it wrong instead of joy at getting something that you just really like.
Yeah.
But it's not in a vacuum, like you say. Everything is informed. Like, everything you do is informed by the outside world. So it's like...
Yeah, exactly. That's why it's like you have to interrogate why when you go into a store and you're like, this one over this one, why that is. And often if you delve deep enough into my tiny brain, it's because I've seen it in like the background of Rosalia's Instagram or something.
Oh, jare, jare. I know.
Jare.
I wanted to talk about Drew, but I feel like we'll save her for Patreon because she's the Patreon pea brain queen.
She is the pea brain queen. Love her.
Anything else on dupes to say other than where can I buy some ballet flats that have a little heel that aren't the Margiela tabby ones in white?
I think you should get those.
But I feel like I'll just get over them really quickly. Again, like, it's funny with the Margiela tabbies in white, the little ballet pump with the heel. I don't even want them. I kind of don't want them because they're Margiela. Because I don't want to be wearing an outwardly designer thing. But that I can't find any that are quite as cute online. But I need to just look harder. Get into dupe talk.
Yeah, find a dupe. Do the reverse image search that girlie mentioned.
What else?
Yeah, what else? Yeah, that one where that girl, I was just a bit confused by it because it seemed like such a good idea. But that girl who went to the Meow party and wore that like little pink Chanel-y dress and she was kind of trying to investigate whether people noticed or like kind of judged her for it, but it just seems such a random assortment of things to pick.
Like, as in, did she think people just obviously didn't think it was Chanel?
That's what I mean. I'm like, it's a random, and like, even if, yeah, because you go to Meow is like very cool kind of brand, and it's also a moderately priced brand, if the purpose is to see if you can go to a fashion party and wear dupes, and if people actually notice the difference, you'd think you'd target it to that audience or something. You know what I mean?
Go to a Chanel party in it.
Yeah, but then I'm like, in what world is anyone ever going to think that's Chanel? Like, it'd be better to... But you, no, like, yeah. No one would think that. Like, it's better to pick something like the Roe shoes and like a, I don't know what another example is. A few different things.
Well, yeah, the logo, what I was just saying, like the logo tops, get like knockoff Loewe. Mm. Get a knockoff Loewe flower dress.
And also even then I'm like, what's the point? Like, what, you trick someone into thinking it's real, what then? Fashion people are dumb. Like, it's,
I don't, yeah, know. But I was even saying to this, because I was like trying to figure out what to wear to this stupid wedding, and then I was just like, I should just go full circle and wear like a Zara dress.
Yeah.
And then someone will be like, where did you get that? And I'll just be like, Zara, you're the dumb one for not, for spending more money on stuff. It is like, who is the, yeah, fool here? Really, the people spending thousands and thousands of dollars on things, or the people getting it for cheaper and investing?
Well, someone said in the comments on the cut piece, like, this dupe culture is what's driven up the price of luxury stuff. And I think that that's very true. Mm. I think I've thought about this and talked to people about this a lot, just the difference in price on designer items over the past, like, post-pandemic is truly insane. And I think a huge reason for that is they just need to, people will pay it, and you know, like, the wealthy became a lot wealthier in the pandemic, and you need to differentiate yourself by pricing the majority of people out of your stuff.
So I didn't even buy a dress for the wedding. I was gifted ages ago and picked this really nice Christopher Isba dress, and then forgot about it and forgot to get it in Sydney. And then it just arrived in London and it's really nice. And I'm just going to wear that.
A gift from heaven, a gift from God.
I know. And that feels so nice as well. Cause it's like you hunt around, you're like, oh, I've got to spend all this money. Wedding stuff is so intense. I was like, I don't even have that many weddings coming up, and for this one in Italy I was just like, what am I gonna wear, thinking about having to spend all this money on a dress and then also having to get shoes to match it. I do think like rental sites for that sort of shit is why rental sites are so popular, for people renting nice dresses, yes, for those occasions.
Yeah, because you want to feel special and unique, and you want to wear something unlike anything you've worn before, but it's such a silly purchase.
Yeah. I was like looking at Jacquemus dresses and I was like, when is Isabel Truman ever going to wear a Jacquemus dress again?
Where are you going, in a beige mule?
Yes. Me and like a Kate Middleton wedge. Espadrille.
I love it.
Okay, we must go.
Okay, girlies.
I'm going to get some food somehow. It feels confusing in a new city. I'm like, where does one get food here?
Where is food? The food in New York's the best. Pizza and bagels, but nice.
Went out for pasta last night to St. Ambrose or something in the West Village.
I literally went there with Callum.
Did you?
Isn't the pasta like the fucking best? Like, I'm not even a pasta girl.
Did you get cacio e pepe?
No, I got something with tomato and it was like a flavor explosion.
So yum. Yeah, went with my friend Steven, got dirty vodka martinis and then wine and burrata, cacio e pepe, pomodoro, and it was so fucking delicious. They came around and they were just like, they had three choices for the bread, sunflower, ciabatta or wholemeal. And I was like, this is a special place. I also looked so disgusting. I came straight from the plane and went straight to his house and like got changed and then went out to this fancy restaurant for dinner. And I was like, and then I like shocked myself when I caught myself in the mirror later because I thought I was like sexy and free and fun in New York. And then I was like, you need to be put in jail.
Who is that woman? Okay, well, enjoy.
Ciao, ciao.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.